Here. So let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for just loving us, Lord. Thank you for just this season. It's beautiful outside. It's nice to be able to just get out and about and do things. And but Lord, more than anything, we just thank you for just new life. And we wouldn't have that without you. You give us purpose in life. A lot of times in our own lives, we think that if we could just do that, or if we could just do this, or if we just could acquire that thing, and it's always going to be something, Lord, but we can just have peace in you. You're just... You really meet us where we're at, Lord. And so I do pray that you would just speak to us today as we wrap up chapter 1 in the book of Jonah. We've been here for several weeks, several months now, just getting through chapter 1. And so I pray that you'd kind of put a bow on this thing. It would really convict our own hearts as we wrap this thing up. And Lord, God forbid that we would be Jonah in our own life and just run from you, just be rebellious in the way that we go, Lord. So I do pray that you would speak to us today. Put me out of the way. I really don't have a lot to say, but your word has plenty. Be with those who are in the ministry this morning. Be with those who are just a lot of things going on. And so, Lord, you know what's going on. We do thank you for Father's Day and just a day that we can recognize just the institute of fatherhood. And, Lord, we live in a country where it's more and more broken, but we know that you are a good father. Even when our earthly fathers fail, we know that we can trust in you. And so, Lord, I do pray that you would just bless that. Be with Pastor Brian as he's preaching in Passaic this morning and then coming to preach here, and it'll just be a good morning for that. And Lord, I pray you get the glory for all of it. In Christ's name, amen. All right, if you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Jonah. We need to get rocking and rolling here because I do want to finish. Some of you are thinking there's no way that you'll finish, and we'll see. I think I will, though. So we started this last section, this last piece, last week, and so we're going to kind of pick up there. I'll do a little bit of review, but, you know, Jonah chapter 1 is kind of broken down. You know, the book of Jonah, I've called it God's great fish story. If you notice in the book of Jonah, everything's great this and great that, great, 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 and God's doing something there. And so we will finally a little bit today talk about, you know, the actual fish or a whale or whatever you want to call it. But that's really not where I want to spend our time, you know, in all that. But anyway, so chapter 1 kind of it kind of broke down like this. There was God's great storm. There was God's great opportunity, right? Chapter 1, just as a whole, was God's great storm, right? And we've kind of looked at all that. But it broke down like this. There was God's great opportunity in verse 1. And then we picked up, you know, basically verses 1 to 7. It was God's great plan to reach all people. He wasn't just after Jonah. He was after everyone. It's crazy how God can do that. He can specifically be calling you, but in the background be reaching everyone else around you. And then it was in verses 8 to 12, you know, man's great heart problem. That's us. Verses 13 to 16, God's great proposal to man. And then today, as we finish this up, we talked about it a little bit last week, but God's great preparation for your life. And, you know, I don't have time to read the whole thing. Go back and, you know, basically, you know, God says, hey, Jonah, I want you to go and talk to these people. And Jonah's like, hey, I don't think that's a good idea. I'm not going to do that, right? And he doesn't just say, I'm not going to do that. He's like, I'm going to go as far away from you as possible. I'm not just going to run and go to the next town. I'm going to go as far as humanly away possible, right, from what you're calling me to do. He's really rebellious in this state, and it's because he just hates the people. You know, go back and listen to all the teaching that we've had so far and get in all that. But, and so basically, he goes, he gets on a boat, he goes to sail away. God, you know, what's God do? He's like, okay, well, if you're going to run, I'll throw a little storm your way and, you know, see if I can't, you know, get your attention. And you kind of, they have the storm, you know, men on the boat, you know, they're like, what in the world's happening? They finally find out, oh, it's because of Jonah. And they're like, well, what do we have to do to you so the sea will be calm unto us, right? How can I manipulate the circumstances in my life to get the outcome that I want? Man, if that's not American Christianity, I don't know what is, right? And it's clear back in the book of Jonah, but that's what he says. And so Jonah's like, here's what you should do. Take me back, I'll go, I'll do what God said to do, and it'll all be good. No, that's not what he says. He's like, I would rather die than go there. So just throw me in the sea, right? I don't want to go. I'm not going to go. So I tell you what, if you just throw me overboard, kill me, then it'll be good to you. And they're like, nah, we can't do that. We don't want that blood on our hands. Interesting, because it takes the blood of Christ on your entire life to have any purpose. But anyway, and so they try even harder. Finally, they find out we've got to cast this guy over. And they do. And then what happens? The sea is just immediately calm. And so then all of a sudden they're like, there must be really something to this God thing, right? Most everyone in this room, I'm sure, has had a moment in their life where it's like, there really must be something to this God thing. Like, I've heard people talk about it. I've heard people say that there's something to it, but like when it becomes real in your life, there must be something to this God thing. And I've got to get on board. I can't not do it. We're actually going to talk about that today. And so those guys, you know, they basically get saved. They're no longer crying out to their little g gods, but they're crying out to the capital L Lord, right? They're calling out to him. They get saved. They make a sacrifice, right? Then it says in verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, right? And offered a sacrifice. And then we wrap the entire chapter up, and this is kind of where we're at in verse 17. And it says now. This is kind of like a standalone chapter, right? Between chapter 1 and chapter 2. It's like now, after all of this, after everything that's happened, right? Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And we read that and we're like, did that really happen? I mean, I don't know. Does the Bible say that it happened, right? I mean, if the Bible is real enough to save your soul, I think it's probably real enough to have something like this happen. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And so here's what we've got to wrap this chapter up, and I'm going to do a little bit of review, and we got to get going. So it's God's great preparation for your life, right? Chapter 1 is a picture of a saved person's life that has fallen away from the Lord. They think that they can choose to directly disobey, to run away from the Lord, and they think that, you know what? God's just going to be okay with that, right? Now, I'm talking about somebody who's saved. If you're lost and you want to run away from the Lord, I expect you to do that. I mean, that's just expected. But if you're saved and you think that I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm just going to run. And you think that God's going to be like, all right, I'll just be here when you get back. I mean, he will wait and he will allow you. But don't think that he's just cool with it. Don't think that God's just like, oh, okay, right? Would you be fine if, you know, one of your kids was like, you know what, peace out, I'm leaving. You know, I'm only 12, but, you know, I've had enough of you, right? And that's one thing when they're, you know, 20. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, but, you know. I don't say that because I have a 20-year-old son completely, but anyway. If you had a child that was like, peace out, I'm leaving. I don't want to deal with you anymore, and you wouldn't allow it, right? You would be like, I can't allow you to do this. And so God, he will let you go, but there's going to be a storm, right? The Lord has other plans for your life. He didn't just save you. He purchased you. We talked about that last week. It cost the Father the blood of his only son to save you. So when you choose to run, God's like, I don't really think that that's what we agreed to, right? I don't really think that's how salvation works. So as we get into this, we're going to look at what that's looked like in Jonah's life through chapter 1. And how it all culminates in this last verse and what it still looks like in our life today. So there was four things. We got through two of them last week, two more today. Four things that God has prepared, because it says that he prepared a fish, right? A great fish. So four things that God has prepared for your life to keep you on mission, right? When God saves your soul, he doesn't just save you so that you have this ticket to get into heaven. I mean, praise the Lord, we have that. But God has a purpose for your life. We have to stay on mission. The first one was, he has a plan prepared. We talked a little bit last week about how there's a difference between God's will and God's plan. God's will for everyone is the same. If you're lost, it's to get saved. If you're saved, it's to be sanctified. But the plan for your life is different. Each and every one of us has a different plan, a different quote-unquote calling. Not all of us are going to be a missionary. Not all of us are going to be to a foreign field. We're all missionaries to the people around us. But not everyone's going to be a pastor. Not everyone's going to be, you know, a deacon or whatever, but we all have a plan in our life. God has a purpose for what you will be, right? And through this plan that he has for you, it is this refining process. It's to grow you. It's the put you in the fire for a little bit, you know, get your feet a little bit hot. As soon as you start to think, I can't do this anymore, he lets you out, right? And cools it off. And he's just growing you. And it's like, you know, you're being tried in the fire. That's why God allows changes in your life. Don't think that because, oh, well, if I'm in God's plan, that means I have to be here forever. That's not what I'm saying. God allows you to change jobs. God allows you to change ministries. God allows you at times to even change mission fields. That's why you hear some missionaries that, you know, I was in Zambia and now I'm over here at this place and I was doing that. God allows those things, but I did give you a warning. Make sure it's God that's calling for a change and not you. Because if you start calling for change before God does, well, you start to look a lot like Jonah did, right? It's you start to look a lot like the rebellious child instead of one that says, I'll do this until you tell me to do something different, God. He allows those things, but make sure it's him and not you. And so I left you with this because some of you are thinking this. Well, what about if I don't like God's plan, right? I mean, let's just be honest with it. I don't like it. God showed me his plan and I don't like it. God said go to talk to these people, and I don't like those people. God said go and do this ministry, and I don't like it. So what if I don't do things like that? What if I do things my way? What if I got saved and I didn't do it God's way? And, well, Jonah, the second thing that he's prepared for you is he has a storm prepared, right? Right on time, every time. We talked about the storm. So Jonah tried it his way. God didn't stop him. Now make sure you understand that. God didn't say, no, you can't do that. He will allow you to run, right? Because he gives you free will. It doesn't mean that he's okay with it. It doesn't mean that he's like, well, I mean, I gave you this statement last week, right? There's times in life that some Christians think that since God didn't show up and speak to them right through Balaam's ass, right? And just basically say, no, you can't do that. Then they think, well, God must be okay with it, right? I know that I'm not completely in the will of God, right? I know I'm not completely doing what he called me to do, but he hasn't expressly said no, so it must be okay, right? And then we start to say, well, that's just a gray area in the Bible. And then I start to tell you you're a fool because there are no gray areas in the Bible, right? It's all black and white. And we think that if God's not specifically like jumping in our face every single time, though, oh, he must be okay with it. He must be okay with me going over here and doing that or dabbling this over here. And that's not what it's talking about. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, also will do it. But if he didn't call you, don't expect him to do it. Right? Don't think that, oh, well, I'm just going to go over here and do my thing over here. God's all good with it. Well, don't be surprised when it feels like you're the Apostle Paul at times and you're kicking against the bricks. And it's like, man, every time I do this, it hurts. Like, it doesn't matter how many times I hit my hand with a hammer, right? I'm a carpenter. I've been doing this for a long time. I still do it, right? It happens, right? It doesn't matter how many times you do it, it still hurts. And it doesn't matter how many times I tell myself, I probably ought not do that anymore because it hurts, right? I still do it. And it's the same thing. Like, if he didn't call you to it, don't expect him to just come all and be like, oh, okay, well, this is what we're going to do in your life, Jason, then I guess I'll be on board with it. I'm not saying he's going to bail on you, but if it's not his calling on your life, don't be surprised when he allows you to bump your head over and over and over again before you're like, huh, I wonder if maybe this is something that I'm causing in my life, right? Anyway, so, and those aren't even the storms that we were talking about, right? I'm talking about tragic events in your life. I'm talking about, you know, maybe losing a job you've had forever, a car accident, something that's like life-changing, something that, those are the storms I'm talking about. You know, sometimes when you're completely rebellious, these storms will come and they're there to get your attention. To show you who's really in control anyway, right? The question is like, how are you going to answer the storm? Now, understand, I clarified this at the end, and then we're going to get to some new stuff. There's two different types. The storms are all the same, but God allows some and he appoints some. If you're acting like a fool, like Jonah, and you're running away, God has appointed that storm just for you, right on time. Don't be surprised. There's not any question about, well, I wonder why these things just keep happening. I really wonder why that. Well, it's because you're in sin, stupid. Like, I probably shouldn't say that, but it's because you're acting like a fool, right? Those are appointed. There are also going to be storms in your life that are allowed, right? Now, I don't think that Joseph, if you go back to the book of Genesis, I don't think he really did a whole lot of things wrong, but God allowed a lot of storms in his life to grow him, to grow in his character, to have him right where he needed him to be right on time. Think about Job. Job didn't really do anything other than, well, exactly what he was supposed to do, and yet here he is, always going through it. There's a difference between the storms that are allowed or appointed. It's usually not hard to tell the difference in between if you just do a little self-evaluation, right? David himself said, God, search my heart. If you pray that prayer, don't be surprised when it hurts a little, because he will reveal to you what's going on, right? The next thing, here's what we got to get to. So he's got a plan prepared. He's got a storm prepared. And here's we go in number three, the third thing that God has prepared for your life to keep you on mission. He has a fish prepared, right? Now, you could call it a proverbial fish, right? It's an event. It's a fish for Jonah. It's something different for everyone else. But he has a fish prepared. Notice something here. The storm and the fish, they're different things. The fish that God sends, it's not just like an appendage to the storm. It's not just like a bonus to the storm that's going on. The fish event and the storm, they are two separate things. Different events. Some people are confused and they think that the fish that God has prepared for them, it's just another type of storm. And that's not the case, right? God's storms, whether appointed or allowed, are simply ways for him to try to get your attention, right? Like, hey, you're going the wrong way. This is going to hurt. Like, I know that it hurts a little bit right now, but it's going to hurt really bad if you don't, like, turn around. Jonah, I promise. You go all the way, and you may not like what you get there. Like, I'm trying to tell you, this isn't really what you want. They're like a speed bump, right? It might jam up the undercarriage of your car a little bit, but it's still going to drive, right? You know, you're driving too fast, and sometimes you hit those things, and it's like, why did they put that there, right? Well, because you're going too fast, and you're going to hurt somebody, right? Maybe yourself. And that's like what God's storms are sometimes. These events, these tragedies, different things. And it's like, man, I just feel like over and over again, it's just one thing after another, and God's allowing those things in your life. Sometimes he's even pointing those things. It's like a speed bump. And if you don't watch it, you ain't going to have no wheels left on your car. That's what he's saying. But God's fish in your life, it's completely different. The fish isn't meant to just get your attention. Now, I think that he's floating in the water. There's a storm, massive waves, all this going on. And now all of a sudden, you know, here comes the fish, right? And he's got to be, okay, so let's talk about the fish for a minute. Because everybody wants to talk about, you know, some people, oh, it really wasn't a whale that swallowed him. I've read commentaries or pieces of commentaries, so I really don't like commentaries. But some people say, oh, no, it was a shark. It had to be a shark that ate him. And that's what PC study Bible tries to tell you. And, you know, just depends on what you want. Some people, oh, it was just a large fish. It was a whale. Here's what I'll tell you. The Bible says here it was a great fish. If you cross-reference it to the book of Matthew, when he's talking about the sign of Jonas, it says that he was swallowed by a whale. Compare scripture with scripture. I mean, that's what I would tell you to do. If you want to say it was a fish, all right. You want to say it was a whale? Okay. You want to say it was a shark? He must have not had teeth. Like, I don't know. For it's all. Here's what I'm telling you. It's a picture. Now, it did happen, and it's a picture. Now, I'll also tell you that I've learned that there are, and I'm sure this is a coincidence because that's how the world works. It's all coincidence. It's never God actually trying to reach you in your life. But there are types of whales that will eat certain things and then vomit up what they eat on the shore. Now, I'm sure that's a coincidence that this whale swallowed Jonah and he was vomited up on. I don't know. It's a real thing. So anyway, just throwing that out there. But God's quote unquote fish in your life, it's different. The fish isn't just meant to slow you down, to say, hey, we need to get some things figured out. It's meant to bring you to the end of yourself. I'm not saying it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but, you know, some of you have had, like, multiple storms just this week. I'm not saying you're going to have multiple fish in one week. Multiple. It's meant to bring you to the end of yourself. It's a fork in the road moment in your life. But unlike storms that remind you, like a speed bump, the fish moments are like driving off a cliff. You don't just say, oh, wow, that I maybe need to slow down a little bit. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt bad. And if you don't stop and realize who God is and who you are and where you fit into the equation, it's going to end bad for you. Like, there was a point when this fish is swallowing Jonah that he's got to realize, I can't run. There's nowhere that I can go that God isn't in control. Now, think about that in your life for a minute. You might say, I'm not doing it God's way. I'm not doing it. That's fine. There is nowhere that you can go that God will not still be right here saying, what are you going to do now? I'm still God, you're still man, right? Now what? Well, what are you going to do with that? It's like driving off a cliff. Make the wrong choice in a storm and you suffer, right? You got a tornado coming and you do something stupid like me and you're like, I really want a picture of this thing. I've always wanted to see this. You might suffer a little bit. You make a wrong choice with a fish. Now, I'm not talking about an actual fish, right? But the fish moment, and you might die. Right? With Jonah, it was a great fish, right? That's why we're using it, because we're in the book of Jonah, right? It says he had a great fish. With Paul, it was what? It was a great light. He's on the road to Damascus. It's the same type of event. If at that moment in his life, when God is speaking directly to him, saying, Paul, what in the world are you doing? Like, you know this isn't what you're created for. What are you going to do with that? That's the type of moment I'm talking about. You know, it's not just a, well, I wonder if this is just a coincidence. There's no question about this is God speaking to me, and if I don't do something about it, I'm done. Right? In my life, it was a stop sign. I got saved sitting at a stop sign. Most of you guys have heard my testimony, but it was at a point, I was so convicted I couldn't get out of this building fast enough. It was actually here at HBF, in 2008. I couldn't get out of here. It was a Wednesday night, and I left, and I'm sitting at a stop sign. It was back when you could actually get on the highway here. Nobody went the way that... Anyway, so long story short. I knew. This wasn't just a... you know, maybe I should change my ways. It was that if I don't give God everything right now, He might not give me another moment. Like, it was that real to me. Now, some people, they get saved and like, okay, and they learn the grace of God. They learn. I knew the grace of God. It was presented to me face to face, and I knew that if I didn't accept it right now, like, I might not get any farther. And so that was like, that's the kind of moment I'm talking about. This isn't a speed bump moment in your life. This is the like, okay, you're either going to back up away from the cliff, because if you go any farther forward, I still don't see the bottom. Right? That's what we're talking about. That's the kind of event we're talking about. Like, look back at this chapter as a whole. Like, this kind of, the whole thing brings it together. The picture here is, the context of the entire picture is God is trying to get a hold of Jonah's life, right? And he says, so God's like, hey, I want you to go. And Jonah's like, nah, I'm not going to do it. And God, you know, he's not like, no, you will go, Jonah. He lets him go, right? The same way that if you decide that, okay, well, this is what God wants me to do, I'm not going to do it. God will let you go. God will not say, absolutely not, son, you can't go any farther, right? He will let you. He'll let you walk as far away as you desire to go. But man, it's going to hurt the entire time. It won't feel good. Now, the farther away and the farther away that you get, you're going to feel it less and less. Right? Because you're so far away from the presence of the Lord that He has no impact on even your conscience anymore. Right? You have to stick to the Word. You have to. Like, This entire chapter, it's not like a debate between Jonah and God. It's not like, no, you'll go. No, I won't. No, you will. No, you. It's not like talking to your kids, right? No. That's not really how it works at my house, but I think I've seen that in some people's. Like, it's not like that. No, you will do this. No, I promise I won't. Like, it's not like that with them. God says, go. Jonah's like, nah, I don't think so. God allows it. He appoints some storms. And during this time, He primarily deals with the rest of the people in the story. Because just because you're rebellious doesn't mean that God's off duty. You know, sometimes your rebellion, God will use your rebellion. He will get glory even out of you acting like an idiot to get other people saved. It's crazy. Like, that's how awesome that God is. And so in the meantime, while God's allowing Jonah to just go through it, man, He's just allowing him to feel it. At the same time, He's like, oh, by the way, these guys need saved, and I'll use a picture of your rebellion as a way to reach them, right? And He does, and they get saved. All the while knowing that He already had something prepared for Jonah. It's not like He had to be like, oh, well, since you did this, I'm going to have to change my plan. Well, since you acted like a fool, I'm going to have to do things a little bit different. That's not what God knows. Not just knows, God knew what would break Jonah. You know, if you fast forward, I told you guys before, as soon as we started the book of Jonah, to read it several times, so most of you guys know the end of the story. Actually, the end of the story is actually weird, really weird, but, you know, much cattle, and then there's the end. But anyway, we'll get to that soon enough. But anyway, like, you know the story. He gets in the whale, and he repents, praise the Lord, because that's what happens, right? And he gets back on track for a while. And so, anyway, you know how it works, but God knew what would break Jonah. Apparently the storm wasn't going to do it, but He knew what would break him. And as prideful as some of us are, when we think that I will do it my way, I can make it work, I will figure it out, God knows what will break you as well. And that shouldn't comfort you. That should scare the living daylights out of you. Like, that shouldn't be something to be like, oh yeah, God knows me so well. It terrifies me to know that, like, if I get so far off track, God knows exactly how to bring me not to my knees, but to put me on my face. Right? God knew the whole time what it would take. And He didn't immediately do it. He allowed Jonah free will the entire time to try to figure it out, to try to get right, and He never did. All the while knowing, it says He prepared. When you prepare something, what does that mean? Like, there's forethought that goes into it. You've put some sort of planning into what it's going to take, right? You can't just roll into, I can't just roll in here on a Sunday morning and be like, okay, I'm just going to read the text and come up with something, right? It doesn't work like that. There's preparation. Like, there takes time. God, it says He prepared. The fact that He uses that word is really interesting to me. Like, He prepared. He had thought through it. He knew what it was going to take to break Jonah. And He knows what will break you. And I'm telling you, that should terrify you. Now, I'm not trying to say that you need to live your life in fear of God. You should live your life in fear of being rebellious to God. Because He's called you to so much more. Right? It's Father's Day. And I didn't plan it this way. It just works out like this. But it's Father's Day, right? Happy Father's Day. Anybody in here who's a dad, be more like Jesus, because we're all failures. It just is what it is. Like, we think that we do a pretty good job. You know, my daughter gave me a card, said I was an old man. I'm like, praise the Lord. I'm like, right, dad, a.k.a. old man. I'm like, sweet. I'm really feeling it, right? We all need to be more like Christ. It's Father's Day. But God, He's a different kind of father than we are. And here's what I mean by that. We see our children's actions and we react to them, right? We're like, they do the right thing and we're like, man, you're really on track. I really appreciate what you're doing. Thank you for doing this. You know, we see them make changes in their life. And you really are growing. And, you know, we react to that. We see them start to act like a fool and we're like, no, you can't do this anymore. You can't be with those people anymore. You're doing dumb things. Like all those, however you want to look at it. As fathers, as parents in general, we react to how our children are acting. And that's how it is. If you want to encourage them when they're doing right, you want to discipline them when they're doing wrong, we react. But God sees our heart. Like, we see their actions and we react. God sees our heart and He prepares. Completely different. Right? We see actions and we react to those actions. Good or bad. You know, my mother, God love her. For whatever reason, and I don't say this because I'm proud of myself, she just didn't catch me, right? But she thinks that I am the golden child. I have an older brother and a younger sister, right? And especially compared to my brother, she thinks that I'm a golden child. She thinks that I can do no wrong. She thinks I did no wrong. But yet when she thinks of my brother, she just thinks, oh my gosh, he was so, you know, and it's just all because of actions and reactions, right? I've just learned not to get caught in the things that Brad got caught in. And so it was like, okay, you know, no better, I promise, I'm not. But like, that's what I'm talking about as parents. And still to this day, I hate it. I hate it for my brother. I hate it for my sister. God love my sister. She's the one who's still trying to like do all the things for mom all the time. She lives in, yeah, anyway. So anyway, has nothing to do with anything. But those things don't change, right? She still has this ingrained image in her head that I am the golden child. And I'm like, man, if you only knew, like, if you only knew, like, a quarter of the things that I did, I wouldn't be anymore. So I just won't tell you. But anyway, as parents, we see the actions and we react. But as God, He doesn't look at your actions. He looks at the heart. Why? Because at the end of the day, most of what you do is just good intentions anyway. And even if your good intentions become actions, a lot of times your actions are just, they're futile because you're only doing it because of what you can get out of it anyway. Right? God sees the heart and He prepares. We see actions and we react. God sees the heart and He prepares. God's not caught off guard when we fall. God's not caught off guard when you do something stupid. Like, I hate to be like that, but like when you fail, when you fall, when you fall away, when you do whatever, God's not surprised. Now, I'm not saying that He's happy about it, but He knows the end of the story. Like, fast forward and, you know, get into Romans chapter 9 when it talks about, you know, God knows the end of the story anyway. You still have free will the entire way to go one way or the other, but God knows what you're going to decide. It doesn't mean that we're Calvinist and say that, you know, God says you will be saved and you won't be saved. No, absolutely not. You want to get saved? Get saved. I'm just saying that at the end of the day, God already knows what will happen. It's still available to anyone, right? So He's preparing. Jonah 1:17, it says, this is the verse, it says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Okay. Psalms 9:7, I don't have time to read the entire verse, but it talks about how God hath prepared His throne for judgment. Right? Interesting. He's prepared this fish for Jonah. What else has God prepared? He's prepared His throne, right? We're going to stand at the throne of God and be there for His judgment. I want to be on the right side of that thing, right? Don't you? Proverbs 21:21 talks about how the battle is coming and there's only one safe place. It's in the Lord. You have to catch those references on your own time because I'm running out of time. So if God has prepared something for you and judgment is part of that, don't you want to be in the only safe place that there is when God's judgment is coming? I do. That's the only safe place I want to be. And it says that the only safe place in Proverbs 21:21 is in the Lord. That kind of scares me. Because a lot of Christians, they really don't care. They think, I'll figure it out soon enough. So he's prepared a fish. And the last thing that he's prepared for you, because I need to get done, is he has a place prepared. Right? And some of you are like, oh yeah, he's got heaven prepared. We'll get there. Right? He's got a plan. Right? He's got a fish. He's got a storm, a fish. And he's got a place. But let's talk about that for a minute. Because sometimes we get this all out of whack. John chapter 14. Flip over there. We don't have to come back to Jonah. You know the story. It's only one verse we're talking about. But John chapter 14. You've heard this passage several times. Let me just read it. Verses 1 to 6. John 14, 6 is one of my favorite verses, by the way. It says, let not your heart be troubled. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. You've heard this. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare. Interesting. He's going to prepare. Same thing with Jonah. He's preparing. He's going to prepare a place for you. I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Because Thomas is just like, I got to see it, right? You can tell me all the day long, but I got to have a picture. Draw me a picture, Jesus. And so he's like, I got to see it. So Jesus says in verse 6, he saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's like, do you get that, Thomas? Can you see the picture there? There's a Kenny Chesney song that says everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now, right? I'm sure some of you have heard it, right? And so, but that's really true. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Ask anybody. Ask lost people. Oh yeah, I'll go to heaven. They just don't want to go now. I'm busy. I got things to do. I got this going on. I got family. I want to get saved, but I just don't want to do it now. I've got some fun I still want to have, and I don't need Jesus all over that. And you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody really wants to go now. Why is that? I mean, it really boils down to this, and I was going to let you guys answer, but I don't have time. We aren't prepared. That's why we don't want to go right now. We're not prepared. We think we are, but we're not prepared. And I'm not saying that if you're saved, you're not going to heaven. Okay, clarify that really quick. If you have bowed the knee, confessed with the mouth, the Lord Jesus, like, you're saved. You will be in heaven, okay? But it goes a step farther than that. I'm not trying to preach anybody out of heaven. You're going to be there. But it goes a little deeper than that. Christians, you know, the lost world says, oh, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go right now. Christians, they're like, oh no, take me home, Lord. I want to go. You got to take me now. This world is terrible. It's going to hell in a handbasket. I can't believe this world. Oh my gosh. And you know, we're like, take me out of here. And I'm like, is that really what you want right now? Like, I've seen the way that you're living. Are you sure that right now is the time that you want to, like, is that really what you want? Are you ready? Like, if you're the kind of Christian that's like, oh yes, Lord, take me home. If today could be the day that the rapture would happen, praise the Lord. Hey, you know what? I'm ready for the rapture too. But I don't want it to happen today. You know why? Because I've got family members that are still lost. I don't really want to spend eternity without them. So I pray every day that God, just give me one more day until the rapture. Because, you know what? Everybody that I know is not saved yet. And, you know, if you're somebody who's like, oh, if today would be the day, you know, praise the Lord, I get it. There's hurt, there's all of those things. But man, you must be a better evangelist than I am. Because I know way too many people that are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire for me to be praying that God would come back right now. That's basically saying, God, come back and send them to hell right now because I'm uncomfortable. That's basically what that's what you're saying when you say that. It's very selfish. And I mean, that's just how we are. And so when we say, take me home, Lord, like, are you really ready for that? We're all excited about the place he has prepared, right? You know, we've all heard about, oh, there's going to be golden streets, right? And there's going to be many mansions. There's going to be no sickness and all the different things. The skit we're going to do, oh, there's no bugs and all this, that, or the other. At least the bugs aren't annoying. And I don't know, all the things. Come to VBS and it'll be good. But yeah.
There might be crocodiles.
But anyway, they just won't be mean. Anyway, like we're all excited about the things that we know of heaven, right? All those things sound great. But are you prepared for that? Now I'm asking you as Christians, most of you guys don't roll in here on a Sunday morning at 9:30 because we don't start at 9. At 9:30 because, you know, you're saved. You want something a little deeper. But I want that too. But am I really ready for that? I'm ready for. What comes before that? Not so much. I'll be honest with you. I personally am not ready for what comes before that. If you're telling me that, oh yes, I am so ready for that, then that means you're telling me that you are 100% prepared for the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I don't have time to get into it. There's two judgments, right? Get into D2 if you really want to know all the answers. But if you're lost, so everybody, lost, saved, or otherwise, will stand before the Lord Jesus after you die. If you're lost, you'll stand at the great white throne judgment. And just real quick of how that looks, you'll spend however long he gives you to explain why you should get into heaven. All the good things you've done, all the reasons that you're good enough, that you're better than those people. And really what that's all going to boil down to is he's going to say, did you accept me while you had time? And every single person that stands at the great white throne judgment will be cast into the lake of fire. Praise the Lord, that's not us, right? Because we've been saved. There's a different judgment for you. If you're saved, you go to the judgment seat of Christ. Now, hallelujah to you, as Brian Hedges would say, right? You don't answer for your sin at the judgment seat of Christ. Your sin was dealt with on the cross. You accepted the blood. His blood was good enough, past, present, and future, right? So you're not answering for sin at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is different. Anyone who is saved will stand before Jesus. This is where you receive your glorified body. Because the body that you've got right now is not worthy to stand before God Almighty the way that it is. It's got to be different. It's got to be changed. Okay? At the judgment seat of Christ, you will answer not for any sin. You will answer for anything that you did for Christ from the moment you got saved moving forward. Basically, now this isn't exactly how it goes, but the way that I can best explain it is this. How well did you use your time from the day you got saved until the day you died or got raptured out? How well did you use the minutes, the seconds that he gave you, right? How much investment was there into the gold, silver, and precious stones, right? How much investment did you make? That's what the judgment seat of Christ is. And not everybody in heaven is going to look the same, right? There's crowns that you receive, all these different things, all based on what you did for Christ from the day you got saved moving forward. We all have different looking glorified bodies. And I know that it isn't exactly like this because it won't be like that, but the best way that I can explain this is who wants to be the naked guy in heaven, right? Who wants to be the guy like, I've got this, not me, but there, you know, people like the Apostle Paul, he's got this glorified body that just looks like, you know, something I can't even explain because he's the Apostle Paul and, you know, here I am because I didn't really do anything for God and I look like the naked guy. And I'm like, I don't want to be like that for eternity because after the judgment seat of Christ, there's nothing that you can do to like gain more. It's all what you do from the day you get saved until the day you die or are raptured out. So when you're like, oh yes, God has prepared a place for me. I'm ready to go. Like, are you really? Have you been that stellar of a Christian that you're like, I have no qualms of standing before God right now and being like, I've used every second that I could for you, man. No, I'm terrified of that because I'm like, I got to get busy. I got to make up for lost time. Again, you're not answering for any sin. It was all dealt with on the cross. But the judgment seat of Christ, man, I want to have so many crowns. Like, I want to have so many crowns. I had somebody tell me this one time, and I'll never forget it. Like, I want to have, like, because you receive crowns for these things, and we say we cast them at Jesus. Like, I want to have to pull a wagon that's got all my crowns in it. Like, there's so many, I can't carry them. But I want to bring them all because I want to give them all back to Jesus. And, like, that's what I want my life to look like at the judgment seat of Christ. So, no, I'm not ready. So when somebody's like, oh yeah, I'm so ready. Now, that doesn't mean that if it was to happen today that I wouldn't be there. Yes, I'll absolutely be there. But like, I want to be the best that I can be for God. Like, I want Romans 12, 1 and 2 to be like pouring out of me, right? It's my reasonable service, right? I'm not saying you're not going to be there, but when you get there, don't you want like the full benefit package? Like, I don't want the, well, you know, you're only a part-time employee, so we give you some benefits. Yeah, you get a little bit of PTO, but like, no, I want all the benefits that come with it. Like, when I get there, I want all of it. And we can't comprehend what that's going to be like. But I'm saying, like, I want to give everything that I got. God has done his part. He's prepared a place. He made you new. He bought you with a price. You are now a new creature. So, let me just ask you, what are you going to do with it, Jonah? Like, what exactly are you right now doing with it? He's already done the work. He's prepared the place. He's given you the ability. So really, it's on you at this point. Like, what are you doing with it? Are you living rebellious because you don't like his plan, Jonah? Or are you dying daily, living in obedience to him? The place is prepared. The real question is, how prepared are you, Jonah? Like, it's already ready. The question is, are you really ready? Jonah was like God's chosen dude. He was the first prophet that like got to be a missionary and actually go somewhere else. God never used another prophet to go to another people, right? In the Old Testament. He always sent his prophets to his own people. But Jonah was the only one that, like, I'm going to send you somewhere else. You know, nowadays, we're like, oh, man, I want to be a missionary. That sounds sexy. Everybody will think I'm so super great Christian. I'm like, man, you don't understand what you're asking for. Talk to these missionaries. Tell me how sexy it is, how great it is over there. All I'm saying is, like, we think that's awesome. Jonah, like, he got the chance, and he ran. So you think you're so prepared. You're so ready. You're so, I mean, are you? That's a question for you. I don't know. The place is prepared. The real question for you, Jonah, is are you prepared? All right, let's pray. We'll pick back up next week inside the belly of the fish. Lord, we love you. We thank you for today. I love your word, Lord. There's no hyperbole. It's no coincidence. There's no, exasperation of a story. These things really did happen. And you preserve them in such a way that you could try even my heart today, because God forbid I be a prophet like Jonah was and I run from you. Lord, you've given us clear and concise vision of what you want from our lives. And some of us are just simply rebellious. Some of us we just don't want to go. We just don't want to do it. And so we run. Lord, we try to change things to match our wants and desires. And at the end of the day, Lord, you're allowing it to happen. Storm after storm after storm. But Lord, you know exactly what will break us. And God forbid any of us get to that point where we're so rebellious that you have to break us like you did Jonah. Lord, I pray that these things would convict us. They would try us. Lord, I just thank you for your word. It's awesome. In the fullest sense of the word. I pray you just speak to us as Pastor Brian preaches to us this morning. Lord, thank you again for Father's Day and just the impact that our earthly fathers have had. You know, even though some of us think that our earthly fathers are bums, Lord, you can even use that to show how good you are. Lord, just thank you for that. I pray that you would just send us out this week as lights in a dark world, that you would not only just try our hearts, but you would provoke us to change, to be more like you. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. It is some kind of hot in here today.